Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb here on your Throwback Thursday. You know, today's the day where we're celebrating the songs from Canadian artists in honor of the 1993 Stanley Cup champion Montreal Canadiens, the last Canadian team to win the Cup. That's a good, but what is the good of the day, which might be even better?
I don't know if it's going to be better. Some, you know, it all depends on what you think of this place, but the fast food experience might be revolutionized.
Uh-oh.
Might be in the process of being revolutionized.
Just when I got familiar with the way they're doing it now.
Yeah, because Taco Bell has decided to say, you know, to open up a new restaurant in Minnesota. We'll try to get as close to Canada as possible.
Right.
You know, to help you Canadians out. But in Minnesota, Brookfield Park, Minnesota, I don't even know where that is. It's a two-story Taco Bell, okay? But the bottom floor or the down floor is the drive-through lanes, and they have four of them.
Oh my God!
And it's all high tech. So the restaurant is up above, the drive-through lanes are down below, and then three lanes are going to be dedicated to mobile orders and delivery food service company.
Okay.
You know, like
okay.
You know. So it's
DoorDash,
those kind of places, yeah, those
plus
places.
People going through a drive-thru.
Right, and then they have the traditional drive-thru lane, but their main objective here is to get your food, have your whole experience to be less than 2 minutes. It's like going down pit row for your
okay.
food.
I'm going to ask you a question because I'm experiencing this in my little small town outside of Nashville.
Go for it.
Which is this. A lot of times you're like, I just want to get a quick burger or I just want to get a chicken sandwich or whatever. These restaurants are like, yeah, I'm sorry, it's taking so long. We only have two people here.
Right.
Like, is there enough employees or can they entice enough people, young people to work there to for that kind of operation? I mean, it's not just a small little, hey, we need like seven people. Like that sounds like you need like 30, 40 people.
It does.
Doing all of those things.
It does. Like I'm
running
curious
the drive-thru,
too.
Running the lane, cooking all the food, making sure it's all fast, making sure people you're handling up front. Are they going to have the staff? Or is it because this would be a waste of space if it's like, well, one drive-thru works. We had four because we thought it would be awesome, but we can't get the kids to work here.
Right. And the other thing I don't want, too, is because it's a lift elevator situation going on where the food will be dropped down. You know, because you're not going to be handed to the food won't be handed by a person.
It's in like one of those tube things.
Yeah, but it'll be like a little elevator that pops down. You open the door, there's your food. You put it back in. That's the other problem too. Is that how often will that break down?
Right.
All of a sudden,
if ice cream machines go down,
oh my
the
God.
Tube that delivers food is absolutely going
so,
to break
I mean,
down.
There's a lot of questions with this, but if it does work out, expect your fast food experience. To change.
Without question. That does sound good. Look, that sounds great. I mean,
also, it's a massive building, so I don't think it's going to replace the one that's in your town.
Right.
Just
right.
letting you all
so
know.
So it's only like, going to be in a only going to be
in select areas. Yeah.
Select areas.
I mean,
okay.
You got to think about a parking lot where it has four drive-through lanes.
That's our Taco Bell. We have two Taco Bells in my town. We have more food places for the town our size. There's more places to eat. Nobody. I've said this many times. I live in Spring Hill, Tennessee. No place on earth likes to go out to eat more than Spring Hill, Tennessee. All the restaurants are packed all the time. Like nobody cooks, nobody makes food at home, nothing. We have two Taco Bells and they're both those Taco Bells that you find within a larger parking lot. Like have you ever seen like a not really a strip mall. I'm not going to go that big, but it's like the food place, the grocery store, a couple of like hair salons, a exercise place. And oh, by the way, stuck in the parking lot, coordinated off is a Taco Bell. So it's got like less real estate. But if they were to say we'll build one of these bad boys, forget it. They'd have to tear down everything. No. People would love it. So all right. So what's the bad of the day?
All right, bear with me here, okay? Because I'm going to set this up, but the bad may not be what you think it is. Because it was announced yesterday that Bryson DeChambeau and Patrick Reed are off to the LIV tournament.
Yeah.
Live tournament.
Is this official or is this just...
Well, I know that they're both... They both agreed that they're going to play in the Portland, what, pumpkin patch? What's it called?
Pumpkin... Yeah, Linus is on the 13th hole waiting for midnight so that the great pumpkin can give all
That's
sorts
right.
of... Yeah, exactly. And Sally is beating the hell out of him because she gave up tricks or treats. Yeah, it's a pumpkin ridge.
Pumpkin ridge.
That's awesome.
Thank you. But that's not the bad. The bad is not the fact that they're making the jump to the tour. The bad is the amount of reports that came out on just how insufferable these two are.
Yeah, I know.
And that PGA was like, oh, yeah, they're going, okay.
You can have these two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's got to be a bad look.
You want to take, yeah, by the way, Kevin Na has a reputation of being one of the slowest golfers on tour.
Right.
These two are just, one is very disliked. Patrick Reed is very disliked.
Would you say hated?
Yeah, hated is probably a good
word.
He's
been, how many times has he been accused of cheating?
Cheating all through college and even in his professional career, there's been enough people raising an eyebrow. But Bryson DeChambeau is just a little too, he's a little too much, right? Like he goes, oh God, I get it. E equals MC squared. Good Lord. All right, just swing the club. Holy cow. Whoa, I get it. A squared plus B squared equals C squared. Just hit the ball. Like, he's a little too much. And I think the PGA Tour is like, yeah, you want to take these guys off our hands. We wouldn't mind that whatsoever.
As the article reads, it was a gut punch to the PGA Tour. But there was, however, an accompanying emotion pulsing through PGA Tour circles on Wednesday. The type of relief that comes at the end of a turbulent and often toxic relationship.
Yeah, Bryson DeChambeau tried to sell his injury as a ping pong accident.
Yeah.
Right. No, it has nothing to do with swinging the club 250 miles an hour. Has nothing to do with that. No. Not at all. He was diving for a ping pong ball, and that's why he's hurt. Yeah, whatever.
I just
take that
it.
And roll with it.
How bad is it when the company that you worked for was like, God, I'm so happy that person left.
There was a few more LIV golf press conferences yesterday. These guys have no idea how to answer these questions.
True.
None. Somebody asked Lee Westwood, if Vladimir Putin was hosting a golf tournament, would you play in that? And he goes, I don't want to deal in hypotheticals. I'm like, oh, is that an answer? Is that really a good answer? Phil looks like he just rolled out of a cave. What is up with that?
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Like, instead of being on hiatus in Rancho Santa Fe, California, in his mansion, he looks like he just rolled out of Red Rock. Like eating berries and squirrels. What is he doing?
Or he just went on a 5-date fish tour bender.
Right, exactly. Phil is going to be 52 years old. As a guy who's up there myself, there are moments where your kids sometimes have to pull you back a little bit and go, Dad, that's not, no, Dad, I know you're trying to look young. That's not, not working. Somebody should have told Phil this. That scruff looks like he's trying way too hard. Just be yourself. Be who you are. Be your image. What are you doing hiding behind a 5 o'clock shadow? What's wrong with you, Phil? He looks like he's just lost. He looks confused.
He does.
He really does. He looks very uncomfortable. Just the couple of shots that I've seen, the video I've seen, he doesn't look like he's like, I had to commit to this, but I'd rather be anywhere but here. I don't want to be doing this. Yeah, it's going to be interesting today when they tee that off. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
I'm not gonna say he was dumb for this. I mean, it's a decision that you make that, in hindsight, you'll regret.
Okay.
All right, and that goes to John Elway.
John Elway, yeah.
Yeah, he made a decision in 1998 when he was offered to buy 20% of the Broncos. He turned it down. Had he done that, he would have netted himself $1 billion.
I would love to go back in time. And find out what in 1998 made him think that a 20% investment was a bad deal.
Right.
Like, what made him go, I don't know if this NFL thing is going to make it. It's not like he's investing 20% in his cousin's upstart oyster business or something like that. Like, hey, I'm going to have oyster food trucks.
I mean,
like, you want to give us 20% of this, Uncle John? It's not like that.
It is confusing because, you know, he knows the organization. I mean, he played for him for years.
Absolutely.
98 was the year he retired, right?
He knew the NFL was a rocket ship.
Well, not just the NFL. I'm just saying let's just take the Broncos in general.
Well, you got to make this. You can't have a rocket ship without the league being a rocket ship.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, you know, owning part of the Broncos, his team that, you know, gave him everything seems logical.
Well,
apparently it would have cost him.
I'll pull back a second on that for a second. If it was a bad investment, it doesn't matter if he played for them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like if the NFL was struggling to make a buck, but he just managed to have a nice career there, won some Super Bowls, but he looked at the numbers like, even when we win Super Bowls, we lose money.
Like, if you're looking at the CFL.
Right. Like if it was a business.
Bring Canada back
like
in.
20% of that, if the league was struggling like to make money and the teams weren't making money, then you could say, well, it didn't matter that I played for you. I'm not investing my money into it. Like you gave me money, but it doesn't mean I'm going to own this. It's not a good business deal. But what in 1998 made him think the NFL was a bad investment?
Yeah.
Like it seemed to be in 1998, things were rolling along great for the league.
And now,
maybe better now, but it wasn't like it was terrible in 98.
Yeah, first of all, I thought maybe it was costing him too much, but a 20% stake back then would have cost him $36 million.
Okay, that's nothing. He was making that on his car dealerships.
Yeah.
I think he had car dealerships back then when he was playing. I think he invested his money well.
Other endorsements. I mean,
he could have come.
$36 million. I mean, I'm not saying it's a drop in the hat for him, but you know, it definitely was.
Well, let's also remind people he wasn't making $30 million a year.
No, like, no. Yeah,
like in terms of like on field.
That's why I'm not saying it was. You know, he could have. He earned that much on contracts alone. No
right.
way. But
yeah,
I mean, all the other outside businesses
sure,
that he had.
Sure. He invested his money well.
I think he could have come up with $36 million in that.
But even then, wouldn't you find a way to borrow it to get this investment and use that as
yeah,
like because you must have seen he had to have seen where the league was going. It was again, I get it. It's not as good. It wasn't as good then as it is now. Obviously, media rights have increased exponentially. Values of teams have increased exponentially. But in 1998, what made him think it wasn't going to increase in value? And like we said before, an opportunity to be a part owner of something very, very few people get to be a part of. Like we say it all. Mark Zuckerberg, if the NFL says you are never buying an NFL team, he's never buying an NFL team.
Yes,
you can't get
right.
in without the approval of the owners. If all 31 owners say, no, we never want to give Mark Zuckerberg an opportunity to buy in this league, he never gets in. No, he could be a trillionaire and never get in to this league. They say that Robert Walton, it's going to take 60 to 90 days for this sale to approve. Why isn't it like tomorrow?
And that's right? I wonder if, you know, like if, I mean, behind closed doors, if Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk have ever said, you know, I'll buy a team.
Yeah.
And all the owners are like, no, we don't want you in it.
No. And a lot of millionaires.
And it's just kept quiet.
Like, a lot of people who used to buy teams, who tried to buy teams. One of the problems, Mark Cuban pointed this out, one of the problems was they weren't liquid. You have to be liquid, right? Meaning you have to be able to go to the bank and get the money in a suitcase, a duffel bag, or whatever. Like, you can't have it in assets. Like, you can't have it like, well, I'm a billionaire on paper through real estate and other things. You have to be like, no, it's $3.5 billion. We need your $3.5 billion.
Yeah.
That's why when Don Sterling sold his team to Steve Ballmer, Steve Ballmer was like, oh, liquid? Yo, no problem. $2.5 billion? No problem. We got that.
Let me write you a check.
Yeah, I'll go get that. Whereas other owners who were buying for the Clippers were like, well, and if you watched Winning Time, and I hope you do, when Dr. Jerry Buss was buying the Lakers, he was trying, like, he struggled, at least according to the way the story is. Jeff Perlman wrote the story. He was selling this. He had to give Jack King Cook a building. He was like liquidating things. He was borrowing against credit. Like he needed the capital, and he didn't have the capital. So it seems like, I don't know. Let me just give everybody an advice. If you have an opportunity to buy an NFL team, buy it.
buy it.
Even if you're like, ooh, we might be eating ramen noodles for a year or two. Just buy one.
Yeah.
Just buy whatever it might cost you.
Because, I mean, so, that $36 million that he said with inflation and blah, 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 would have netted him $900
million. Yeah. Oh, God. God,
$36 million turned into $900 million. That's a sound
investment.
In
a relatively short amount of time. 20,
yeah.
25 years?
Yeah.
Golly. That's crazy.
Just, where do I sign?
All right. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb. It's Wake Up Call at Sports Map Radio.